This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And here we are, another season. It's episode one of the 2023 season. I'm Igor, and with me, as always, on The Gardening Show, Mr. Master Gardener himself, Bob Harris. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, Igor.
Oh, I am so excited to start another season. I really look forward to this show.
Oh, me too.
And the season, to be honest
yes,
with you.
Yes, yeah.
It's more, I'm looking forward to a nice weather season.
Yeah, and so far I'm hearing we will get that.
Excellent. It's a little foggy and moist this morning, but you know what? I'm finally going to be able to mow the lawn today. I'm sure the neighborhood is going to appreciate that because it's going to clear up. Finally, it's not
gonna be
all soggy, so that's a good thing. And we're going to take your phone calls if you have any gardening questions, you know, anything about your lawn, your trees, your garden, anything, flowers, bushes. 814-368-9372, and we are on Facebook Live as well. And you can log in and actually see on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WESB1075, you brought an assortment
of
colorful plants today. So we'll talk about those, I'm sure. So good morning, and the microphone is yours.
Thank you. I want to mention first, Mother's Day is coming up. So I just want to remind everybody, it's May 10th.
I was just going to ask, you know,
isn't it?
I don't know, is it?
No, May 14th.
14.
Yeah, 14.
It's a Sunday, so not the 7th, it's the 14th.
Yeah, it's one of the early Mother's Day, so be prepared there. But also, you can, this time of year, early, you can still plant right now. You can plant grass, trees, shrubs, perennials. It's a little early for the annuals and vegetables, but you can plant those. The grass does very, very well in the spring because it's going to be damp every morning. So it's just like you watering the grass seed every morning. So you have a lot of success that way. And trees and shrubs, they're still a little bit dormant. They're starting to bud out and leaf out. So their needs are small. So they're easier to plant and then a lot less care this time of year. But working the soil, if you're going to plant trees and shrubs, not so much grass seed, that doesn't really matter. In wet, soggy soil, if you till it or spade it, turn it over, you can create some lumps, you know, and when those lumps dry out, they tend to dry into little bricks. So it can be bad for the plant. So if you are going to work in a wet soil, one thing you can do is scratch the surface, poke some holes, give it a few days. That'll help dry it out. That lets the air in there and the water evaporate out of the soil a little bit quicker. But if you can't wait, then one practice I always like to do is if I'm going to rototill or spade the garden, turn the soil over, add a little peat moss. That'll absorb a lot of the moisture immediately and stop the soil from clumping so much. Now, if you do still get some clumps, you're a good idea to break them apart as much as you can because those can cause problems down the road for the plant. So keep that in mind. Grass, trees, shrubs, perennials, good time to plant them right now. Annuals and perennials, we're going to hold off on. It may be soon. You know, I don't want to make any predictions. You know, our growing season gets earlier and earlier all the time. There used to be an old rule that you didn't even plant till June 11th. Then it got into the end of May. Now it's getting near the mid, even early May. So just keep your eye on the weather and be prepared that if you do plant early, that you may have to throw a sheet over them at night to help protect them from a frost. But, you know, the vegetables, we probably don't want to try to tackle any of those yet, unless you're starting them maybe from seed. Most of the vegetables are a tropical plant, and they really don't like cold soil. So we got to wait for that soil to warm up. If we do plant a little early with a vegetable, that cold soil can shock them into slowing up their growth for an extended period of time. I know it's tough to hold off because a lot of people say, geez, if I don't get them early, I'm not going to be able to get them. Yeah, you could get them early still, but maybe take them in and out every day, bring them in for the evening and then out during the day so that they aren't any threat of a frost or anything like that. And, you know, think about animals too. You know, when you do put them out, put them in a protected area with lots of sunlight, but a protected area away from animals.
Okay. Yeah, very good idea. Now, I was going to ask, you said the planting season's getting earlier and earlier. Is that just because... Is that because of the weather, or is that because we're impatient and we want it earlier?
It's because of the weather.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because of the weather. The weather's got a heck of a history behind it. You know, it's pretty neat. You know, there was a time in even 1850, I believe it is, that we had a frost all 12 months of the year. And the weathermen have decided that was from a volcano. You know, and things like that. Can happen. The weather is such a complicated thing. Every little thing can affect it. Warming of the oceans and volcanoes and it just goes on for forever about all the variables involved in weather.
Yeah, that's cool. That's fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. So just be aware, you know, some people... depending on where you live, too, we all have a little different zone. I know those people out Bolivar Drive, they're going to have to wait a little bit longer. That seems to be a cold valley, and Minard Run Valley there, too. That seems to be a cold valley. But the closer you get to town, the warmer it is, the more protected it is, and those people can plant a bit earlier. Or if you're going to plant up close to a house or in an enclosed area, that's probably going to be protected also.
We're live at WESB, so give us a call if you have a question for Master Gardener Bob Harris, 814-368-WESB. That's 814-368-9372.
Let me talk a little bit about these plants here that are here.
Okay, we have up on our live feed on our facebook.com/WESB1075. And then when you talk about them, why don't you put them over closer to the camera then so the people could see at
you
home.
Bet.
Yeah.
I'll start with a good old-fashioned marigold. It's a great plant, especially for beginners or some of us older gardeners who just want to put a plant in the ground and really not monkey with it at all. The marigold is a great one and has a lot of other benefits to it. It develops a colony of nematodes. They're little creatures inside the soil that can help attack other non-beneficial things. And
by the way, new feature this season, nematodes.
Nematodes, okay.
Your word of the day.
And they help around the garden. They help tend to keep some of the wildlife away, too. So then I'll go to, and that's a sun-loving plant, the marigold.
Now, when you say that it's a sun plant, now how many hours a day does it need direct sun?
At least 6 hours.
Okay.
To perform at its best, you know, a lot of these plants, you can break the rules there. Mm-hmm. Like the next one I'm going to talk about, impatiens. They are normally a shade-loving plant, but here in Bradford, we grow them very successfully in the sun also because we don't have a lot of extreme sun. If your plant is not performing well enough, a sun-loving plant like the marigold or the geranium or petunia, then maybe it's not getting enough sun. So keep that in mind. You could possibly move it or next year try it in a sunnier spot and vice versa. If a plant is a shade plant and it's not performing well, maybe next year you better move it to a shadier spot. Or, you know, with shade also comes dampness. Maybe there's just not enough moisture in the soil for that plant.
I was going to ask, you know, because they're shade loving, does that just, can you get away with watering them more so they don't dry out in the sun, or is that not really what they care about?
Usually in the shade, the soil stays moist longer, so you don't really have to water more often in the shade.
No, I mean, if you want to put them in the sun a little
bit. Oh, in the sun. Yes. Yeah, then you'll have to,
so that's like the big impatient. That's the problem. They're not moist enough.
Right.
It's not that they don't like the sun. They don't like to be dried out.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. Good point. I'm glad you got it through for me there. Yeah, that's a good point. So impatient, another good old-fashioned one. Usually shade-loving, but can be grown in the sun with enough moisture.
Do any of these attract bees?
Bees, they all do.
Okay.
They all do, yes. Getting real popular is what we call million bells or calibrachoa, but most people like to call it million bells or miniature petunias. They're a sun lover, so that's another good one to plant. All these plants are going to get much larger as the season goes.
That was the next question. Are these relatively the same size, full grown, or do some of them get bigger than
others? Yeah, some will get bigger than others. And when you buy a plant, you're going to find a label on it, and it's going to tell you about how big it's going to get.
Because you don't want to plant something in front of, you know, you don't want to plant a taller one so you can't see the back row that you might cover up from the road or something like that.
Well, that depends. If you're going to be viewing the garden from above, then it really doesn't matter. But if you're going to be viewing it from a distance, try to plant the tall things in the back and the shorter things in the front. But there'll always be a tag with your plant that'll tell you the size, whether it's a sun lover or shade lover. So keep track of that. Maybe even save the plant tags for the growing season. And they'll be very, very helpful.
Yeah, I need a reminder. If it's not written down in front of me, I don't know what it is anymore, and I forget.
So the petunia, that's a good old-fashioned one again. And most petunias can get pretty large. They can get 2 to 3 feet wide. They don't grow tall.
I really like the two-tone of that. It gets really darker on the inside.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's neat about petunias. Did I mention too, they're sun lovers, but they can be grown in part shade, part sun. Mm-hmm. They may not get as many blossoms, but they still will blossom well. But can get 2 to 3 foot wide, but only maybe 6 to 8 inches tall. They're a real good spreader or a hanging basket or a window box or a ground cover type of plant. Just excellent in that way. And really attractive to hummingbirds and bees.
Oh,
very attractive.
Nice.
Come in a lot of different colors.
Might have to think about making my own hanging basket this year with something like that. Now, those will keep growing over the side of and droop down over the side of the
Definitely,
basket.
Definitely, yes. Yeah. You know, that I'm glad you mentioned that. That can be pretty doggone rewarding. I mean, you can run down to Graham's Greenhouse and buy a hanging basket already made up for you, and that's fine. That's good. But when you make your own and it's successful, it can be pretty rewarding. You know, you can really boost your confidence in gardening, and we all can use that. So, yeah, give that a try. Plant a hanging basket or a combination pot or just any kind of container and see... See how good you can be.
Put that a little closer to the camera there.
Which one? This one?
Oh. Yeah, we were just talking about it. Put it on top of the piece of paper over there.
Okay.
That way the people could really see it up close there.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah. And then the last one I brought in today, good old-fashioned geranium.
That's a tall one, the tallest of the bunch here.
Yes. And they come in a lot of different colors also. And they're a very beneficial plant. They can even deter a lot of insects, mosquitoes being one of them. Mm. A lot of our insect repellents now are made from the oils of the geranium. So this is a great, great plant. This plant goes way, way back, you know, when gardening became real fashionable, just at the beginning of the Victorian era. Everyone had to have a geranium, originally from Africa. But grows well and loves the Bradford weather and does like a lot of sun, but can be grown with less sun, even makes a good house plant, and can be kept for years and years.
Now, do you know offhand which of these are safe for? Because that's one thing that's always preventing us from getting one thing or another. My wife's always concerned about the dogs.
Sure.
Eating the plants or, you know, snacking on a leaf or two or something. Are any of these toxic to animals?
No, none of these are going to be toxic. Yeah. So you're safe for any of the animals there. Some of them, you know, like I talked about the marigold. They may try to nibble on it, but the flavor is so distasteful, it's not going to harm them. It's so distasteful that they're going to start to leave it alone quite a bit.
There. Listen, my dogs eat chicken droppings. I don't know if they realize what doesn't taste good. I don't think they know.
Yeah, so any of these, you know, safe for pets, even if you want to taste them. A lot of people like myself, you know, sometimes that's how you identify a plant, is by not just its looks, but its smell and its taste and its feel. You're safe to do that. Just don't eat a lot of it, you know.
Right, yeah. It's probably not going to taste the best anyway.
Yeah.
You'll probably won't want to taste a lot of it. We have a phone call coming in.
All right.
Would you like to take it? 368-9372 is our phone number. And good morning. You're on The Gardening Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you back, Bob.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I have a couple questions. I've been seeing a lot of real bright trees lately. And bright bushes. Can you tell me what they are? I noticed some more this year than I ever have.
Okay, yep, certainly. I'm glad you brought that up. So some of the trees that we're going to see blooming this early is going to be some of the crab apples bloom early.
Okay.
And the red bud. Now, that tree always fascinated me because you really can't describe the color. You can't give the color a name. It's kind of a neon purple. The blossoms come right off the stem of the plant, not like most plants that have a petiole and the blossom hangs off. So the red bud, some of the cherries are blooming now. Some of the shrubs that are blooming, you're going to see what we call the PJM rhododendron. That one's blooming. Most of the time, those are a purplish color. And some of the azaleas are starting to bloom now. So those are what you probably are seeing blooming around Bradford.
Well, a friend of mine had these bright yellow bushes, I thought, but they were really pretty. Oh. And I wanted to ask your opinion on the African violet. That's one of my favorites.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up the bright yellow. That'd be forsythia. That's okay. A shrub called forsythia. That a lot of people call that the harbinger of spring. You know, when the soil temperatures reach into the 40s, the forsythia is going to start bloom, and we know that spring has begun. But you had a question about, what was it again?
African
violet?
Yes.
Oh, okay. African violet's a great house plant. They always recommend you, that's one you water from below. They don't like water on their leaves. I would highly recommend getting African violet fertilizer for them and keep them in a sunny window. They're a great, great houseplant. And they'll continue to grow, and you can divide them or split them to make new ones.
Very good.
So it's just a great plant. That's one of the ones my grandmother really had a huge love for. She had dozens and dozens of African violets in her sun porch. And I remember my mom, anytime my grandmother and grandfather went on vacation, my mom would be a nervous wreck because she was in care then of the African violets. And
don't mess up the plants.
Yeah, yeah. So us kids would go to help her to remind her, you know, well, you didn't water that one or what.
Right.
So, yeah, very nice houseplant.
Thank you very much for the call, sir.
It's been great and educational, and I thank you.
You're welcome. Much. Thanks for that call.
All right. Have a fantastic weekend. All right. And then when you mentioned the fertilizer for it, you said it has a specific fertilizer?
Yes, they
do. It has its own.
Yeah, has its own. That's recommended. Now, you can get away with just using regular houseplant fertilizer, but it's really recommended that you get the right fertilizer for the African violet so it'll perform at its best.
Needs a little bit different nutrients than other plants.
It does, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It'll be low in nitrogen, high in phosphorus. That will keep it blooming well.
Okay. We'll take a short break. We'll be back in 30 seconds. We have to thank our sponsor, Worth W. Smith. More Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris next on WESB, B107.5 FM.
Spring has sprung. Time to get your gardening underway with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. Start with their big selection of garden seeds and fertilizers to grow all your favorite vegetables and flowers. Build attractive planting beds and landscape edging with railroad ties from Worth Smith. Dress it up with the popular Black Pearl mulch and add bags of landscape stone and pavers to finish it off. You'll be the envy of your neighborhood. It's time to get started. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Quick and painless.
Yeah.
Back to the gardening show. Master Gardener Bob Harris on B107.5 FM. And I said when I walked into the studio today, you had these plants in here. And I said, you know, it already is smelling really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of them do have a nice scent.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So we need extra nice scents in my yard anyway, with 5 dogs and 10 chickens.
Yeah.
More pleasant smells, please. So, yeah, this is a good idea. So what else is on the agenda today?
Okay. First, before I forget, I want to thank Worth W. Smith for sponsoring the show. And then I also want to thank the Grahams family for letting me take plants out of the greenhouse and for show and tell here. So thank you. Another thing we want to think about is some of our garden supplies. For the last few years, you know, it's been a little difficult to find. So get your garden supplies early. If you're going to do containers, get that container soil. If you're and you should be fertilizing, so get the fertilizer. Get all your garden tools early because there may be a shortage or an outage of one or another. So it's a good idea to get that stuff early. So one of the first things we're going to do before we plant a garden is amend the soil. Bradford has clay soil, and so that's not the best type of soil for any plant, although if you look at our forest, it's some of the best forest in the country. You say, well, why is that? You know,
well, because you have specialty things that like that kind of thing that grow in the wild.
That and because our forest is amending the soil every day.
Yeah.
Leaves are falling every fall. Those leaves deteriorate and become part of the soil. It's just like adding compost to your soil. Now, in our yards, you know, that's not happening so much. So we have to do it other ways. And I like to amend with compost or leaves or peat moss, old mulch, pine, sawdust, pine needles, straw, or old potting soil and grass clippings. You can use a lot of different things to amend the soil and then work it into the soil by rototilling or tilling it in, and it'll give you a much better garden year after year. It takes a few years to develop a good garden. That first year when you have that soil dumped in, you know, it's probably going to be a light tan color, or light brown, you know, and ultimately we want it to look very, very dark. Another way of describing it, you know, is brand new soil or soil that isn't real healthy is like coffee with cream in it. And then a real rich soil with lots of nutrients will be black coffee.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to accomplish. The darker the soil, the more nutrients and organic matter it has in it, and the better water holding capacity it'll have with it too, which is extremely important when we finally hit those summer months when it doesn't rain for 2 or 3 weeks and all our plants are wilting. So keep that in mind. you know, try to amend your soil every year, because when you do plant, the plants are going to start feeding on that amendment. So we may have to add some every year to it. Pulling the weeds. Now's a great time.
My favorite.
Yeah, everybody's favorite, isn't it? Why the soil is still loose from the winter, the weeds pull a lot easier. If you wait till you've walked on it, it's starting to dry out. They get more and more difficult. As a matter of fact, a lot of weeds, even if you just leave a small smidgen, that's a garden term,
smidgen
of root in there, the weed has a chance to regrow.
That's always the most frustrating thing when you're pulling weeds out and then they break.
Yeah.
Like, come on, now I can't get it. You got to wait till it grows again now.
It is.
Grip on it.
But boy, is it so rewarding when you know you got the whole root. As a matter of fact, there's been many a time that I've run into the house with a dandelion that I pulled with a foot-long root.
Ooh.
You know, show my wife, look at that, I got the whole thing. You know.
Okay, honey.
Yeah.
Go back in your dirt and you play. Go play in the backyard in your dirt.
So weeding can be rewarding or it can be frustrating. It's a good time, though, to clean up those weeds, especially before they start flowering and setting seed. Because then you'll have many, many more. Some weeds even can produce 1,000 seeds. So the sooner you get to them, the better off you are. Same with mowing your lawn. Even if your lawn hasn't grown up, but the weeds have grown up a bit and starting to flower, it's a good idea to mow off all those flowers so that you don't increase your weed population.
I have a question here on Facebook.
Yeah.
Somebody put it in the comments here. Joe says, hello, Bob. What can you feed pear and apple trees now to help them?
To help them. I like to use a dry fertilizer. That's going to be a granular fertilizer you get in a bag, and it's usually marked a 10-10-10. That's a well-balanced fertilizer. It's good for just about every plant. And just a light sprinkling. I don't really like to fertilize my trees and shrubs a whole lot. I like them to spread their roots, searching for nutrients. In the long run, that's going to make a much healthier plant. But from time to time, we do need to fertilize to keep them good and healthy, and maybe to force them to grow a little bit faster because we're impatient and we want to hurry up and get that apple tree growing so it can produce fruit in our time. So, yeah, 10-10-10 dry fertilizer that you sprinkle around just like you would season your meat on your grill.
Delicious.
Yeah, right. Delicious.
Excellent. So thank you so much for commenting, Joe. And that's on Facebook.com/WESB1075. We have about 2 minutes left in the show. Of course, we'll be back every Saturday morning at 8:30. So just because we're out of time this week doesn't mean we won't be back next time.
Okay.
So let's wrap it up. We got 2 minutes.
Okay. A couple other little hints. You know, you may want to do a soil test. You know, you should do one every 3 to 5 years, unless you really know your soil is good, everything's growing good. If you've had some problems, a soil test can help you out a great deal. Another thing is lime. Once in a while, you may have to lime. That's not something you want to do every year, but possibly, again, if you weren't really satisfied with your garden, first do the soil test. And if it says add lime, you know, that's a good idea. That lime can be very, very beneficial to your garden soil. And try to remember what went wrong last year, so you have time to correct it. Don't repeat those mistakes, you know. And we all have mistakes. So try to remember those problems or problem areas, and now is the time to really correct them and make a better garden.
And don't be afraid to try new things, because if it goes terribly wrong, well, guess what? There's always next season.
That's right. That's right.
It's not permanent, right?
That's
the beautiful thing about gardens. They constantly can change.
Yep. We all have our failures.
That's right.
Even if you've gardened for a long time, you're still going to end up with a failure once in a while.
Even the master gardener himself.
Yep. And my wife loves to point them out.
Oh! Thank you so much for coming in,
Bob. Oh, you're welcome.
Looking forward to the season of The Gardening Show, sponsored by Worth W. Smith. And we will talk next week right here on B107.5 FM. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.